Woodrow Kroll here. When you train one pastor in Ecuador, some donor friends are standing by to train a second pastor.
Call 833-443-5467 or go online at trainapastor.com.
Every gift counts, and now every gift is doubled. Trainapastor.com.
Welcome to the RF Angle with your host, Ryan Fournier. Your thoughts out loud.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for taking the time to tune in and listen to the very first episode of the RF Angle podcast, where we will be breaking down what's happening in our country and across the world, from politics to culture and everything in between. No holds barred, no political correctness, simply your thoughts out loud. My first guest needs no introduction whatsoever. She has been a fighter for President Trump since day one and is now in Congress fighting for his America First policies. I also wanted to jump in here and say, you've probably seen some of the videos she's posted where she's working out, doing her fitness regimen. She is the 47th in her division of CrossFit. 47th in her division, meaning she can best any single one of us. So watch out, guys. Her faith leads her in this fight against these leftist socialist policies that are really starting to dominate within politics right now. We're seeing it. We're seeing portions of the Green New Deal. We're seeing it with women's sports now being threatened by the feminist movement for whatever reason. She ran against many, many qualified candidates, some having more political experience and years in office. Her victory in this race is, however, very oddly familiar. And I wanted to get into this because I think that the people that are following this show, following me, following what's going on in politics, would see that you have an untested political candidate similar to President Trump and Mark Walker in North Carolina, who's now running for Senate, run in a highly contested primary in a plus 27 Republican district. And she trounces all of them, every single one of them. She won up against the establishment, and she, the outsider, won. And she won big. And the similarities in these races, whether we're talking Mark Walker, President Trump, are all very clear, and they indicate something really great. They indicate that people are completely and utterly fed up with the establishment ways, the establishment candidates, and they're compromising on their morals, compromising on their principles to get something done. If anything, Congresswoman Green seems to be less of a quote-unquote fluke for what the MSN, the mainstream media, would lead you to believe, and more of what Republican voters truly want. An outsider with strong conservative beliefs and the backbone to stick it to them, and maybe even a rabble-rouser willing to go head-to-head against the left in this country. And she's doing a very phenomenal job. Ladies and gentlemen, want to welcome you, my first guest on the show. It's an honor to have you, Congresswoman. Welcome on.
Hi, Ryan. Thank you so much for your kind words. That was so nice of you to say that, all of that about me. I have to say one thing, though. I was 47th in 2015. And so now that I'm a member in Congress, I don't get to train and compete like I used to, but I still keep up with it. So it's something that I fully enjoy. But thank you for having me on, and I'd love to dig into all these issues.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much going on right now in this country, and I think that it's absolutely incredible to see how inefficient, how dug in this administration is, how sort of oblivious they are to everything that is going around them. They won't call what is happening at our border a crisis. I know you've said some stuff on this. We got this shooting that just happened in Boulder, Colorado now, where now they don't even want to talk about it because the guy was, a Muslim who hated Trump, had this rage against President Trump, rage against anti-immigrant sentiment that's in the country, and he killed only white people, which is unfortunate. And so, all of this stuff going on in this country right now, it really makes you think, when you look at Joe Biden, when you look at Kamala Harris, when you look at the people running the nation right now, you kind of think to yourself, it's like, do they want to destroy this country? Is this what is actively happening right now? You know, I wanted to ask you before we even jump into that, you were suspended on Twitter. And ironically, on the same day that the Democrats introduced this resolution against you to expel you from Congress. And, you know, at this point, I honestly see it as a badge of honor. Similarly, like when President Trump was impeached twice over total nonsense, little fact and mereless hearsay. I mean, do you consider this a badge of honor? I mean, what are your thoughts on all of this stuff going on right now with these guys coming after you?
Well, I guess I could consider this a badge of honor. All of the attacks from the media, who we know over the past 4 years, we saw them run the same playbook against President Trump. They attack who they fear the most, who is a threat to their agenda. The media, the majority of the media is Democrat activists. And so they're not journalists. They're not interested in telling the true story about people like me, about President Trump or you or any other strong conservative. They just want to put a spin on the story to help achieve the policies that the Democrat Party is ramming through. I got suspended on Twitter for 12 hours with no reason given through the email that was sent to me from Twitter, just that I had a 12-hour suspension and the notification I had. Simultaneously, at the same time, Democrats introduced a resolution to expel me. So you can only see that was lined up perfectly for a reason. We emailed Twitter right after the suspension occurred, no response. I emailed them later on in the 12 hours. Again, no response. Asked for a meeting, no response. And then it was after the 12-hour suspension was lifted, they told Fox News and some other media outlets that had requested information that it was an error, that my account was suspended. Well, I mean, any conservative, anybody knows that that's a lie. And
isn't it ironic, though, that it's always conservatives that are, you know, there's always an error when they ban us. It's like, oh now we're getting media attention. Course. Now we got to come out and say, oh, it's an error. It's an error. Yeah, right.
Oh, it's a lie. It is. It's not an error. They don't want our message out there, and they wanted to silence me at a time where they knew I would be vocal against what the Democrats were trying to do. Which was that they introduced a resolution to expel me. This is how ridiculous they are. They cannot even file an ethics complaint against me in Congress because I've done nothing wrong. They just don't like me because I refuse to back down. And so this is what it's all about. And the media is treating me the exact same way.
I wanted to take a moment to talk about my good friend, Mike Lindell. Since I joined this fight, Mike has always stood by our movement, regardless the consequences to his family or business. Now, as we speak, the cancel culture left is canceling MyPillow. Almost 20 stores took MyPillow off their shelves. I'm asking you for a favor. I need you to support MyPillow and show Mike we stand with him. Go to MyPillow.com. Use code HOPE45 to receive up to 66% off. Guys, the code is HOPE45. HOPE45 for up to 66% off. We cannot let the cancel culture win. Code HOPE45 for up to 66% off. Mike is fighting for us. Now let's fight for him.
Welcome back to the RF Angle with your host, Ryan Fournier.
You know, I don't ever like to make this comparison for anybody, but I think that you may understand that if you remember when AOC was elected in Ilhan Omar, and in no way, shape, or form are you like them in policy or belief, but you kind of were, or they were kind of a stick in the side of certain political people, you know, trying to hold Nancy Pelosi accountable, trying to hold these certain party figures accountable because they weren't doing things the way that they thought they should have been done, right? In a way, I kind of see it where you are making this party, I think, more America first. You're pushing it more to the right. I mean, you're really doing God's work. In a sense, and I know you mentioned, I believe I read a press statement saying that, you know, being stripped of your committees, them attempting to try and silence you and stripping your voice away from you, gave you more time to do that. You know, what is your take on that? I mean, because in a way, you would have thought that if they didn't like you, they would have done the same thing to AOC and Ilhan Omar, right? I mean, you have a very powerful voice. When you say something, people listen. And with AOC, with Ilhan Omar, who's been under investigation more times than I can count in my entire life, these people should have been kicked out of Congress at this rate years ago. I mean, what is going on? Why it seems that they're unfairly targeting you when they had in their back pocket throughout the last 4 years when we're dealing with AOC, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley. You would have thought that these guys would have been expelled from Congress by now, stripped of their committees for the things that they've said, the things that they've done.
Oh, they should have. They actually should have. Ilhan Omar, I mean, if you want to talk about people's past behavior should stop them from being a congresswoman, this is a woman that married her brother so he could come to America. I mean, if we want to talk about past behavior, that's not something that we do in America. So if anything, if past behavior is an indicator of who gets to serve in committees and who gets to stay and who gets kicked out, well, that's number one right there. She's also a woman who shared the Minnesota Freedom Fund bail bond link, encouraging people to donate money to bail out criminals who rioted and burned cities and looted and all kinds of crimes. But yeah, no, you're right. There are members of Congress like Eric Swalwell sleeping with a Chinese spy, and he sits on the Intel Committee.
Exactly.
And Maxine Waters calling for Trump supporters to be attacked. The list goes on and on. We could spend all day and go through everybody. But no, they target me, and they target me very pointedly because I don't fit in and I don't do business as usual in the swamp. You see, because I'm a regular person. I'm just like an average American that happens to be a member of Congress now. And I'm coming in there as a successful business owner saying, no, we wouldn't do this in my business. And we wouldn't act this way in most companies, private companies at work. And the way you guys are doing business as usual in the swamp is why we're in $30 trillion in debt. And these are the things that are wrong, and I refuse to become part of it, and I refuse to just step in line and do things the way they want me to. And so that's a problem for everyone, both sides of the aisle, and they're not happy about that. And then the other thing is, Ryan, just the fact that I am so focused on America First, and those are the wonderful policies that President Trump showed us the past 4 years that really it worked.
100%.
And it was why we saw our borders start to become secure for the first time in decades. The reason why we saw the end to the senseless foreign wars that we have been, America has been a part of. We saw that ending. The reason why we saw American companies be put first over foreign countries and their companies. Why all of the things President Trump did for America First policies were so important. And I'm being a loud vocal voice saying, hey, this is what we want to do. This is what America wants. And I won't stop screaming it from the rooftops until we get it back into action. And they don't want that. You see, it doesn't. Here's the deal. A lot of people need to look at it differently. Politics is big business. And when anywhere there's right. business and money involved, that's where the power lies. The border that's open right now is big business. There's money changing hands left and right. The cartel and the coyotes are making high profits that they haven't made in years. You've got nonprofit organizations like the one in Texas called Endeavors, got awarded an $86 million taxpayer-funded six-month contract to get hotel rooms for 1,200 illegals. And money yeah,
and meanwhile,
we have
veterans. Meanwhile, we have veterans all across the country who are suffering right now, and we're giving, what is it, $80 million plus dollars to house illegal immigrants who, by the way, you know, we,
that's right.
You know, this is common sense to us, Congresswoman. It's common sense to us to say, you enter the country illegally, you broke a law that's been on the book for a very long time, illegal entry, right? President Trump,
right.
That was his,
right.
That's what he did. He made it where you weren't going to get into the country unless you did it through the legal means, the legal processes, and they have no regard for the law. This party has no regard for the law in this country.
No, they don't. They don't. It's not about the law. See, that's not what it's about. It's about radically transforming America, which is what Barack Obama's administration set out to do. Their plan, their long-term plan, which has taken years, got interrupted by President Trump for 4 years, okay? Now Biden is in the White House. Pelosi and the Democrats control the House, and we have a Senate that is tipped over by one singular vote, and that's Kamala Harris, the deciding vote, leaning Democrat in the Senate. So we have a government now that is democratically controlled, which means they are finishing off what Obama set out to do, which is the radicalization, the transformation of America. Our country is being changed, and it's been changed drastically in the past 2 months, so much so nobody understands it. And what's about to happen.
Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben, I mean, all of them, Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, but Ryan, those are culture issues that are shocking and appalling and disgusting to us. What I'm talking about is policies that have been passed that won't be undone. Right. The one that's coming this next month is the infrastructure package that's going to be $3 trillion plus. And it's not, I'm not talking about roads and bridges and things like that, infrastructure, broadband. They're going to put broadband in there, which a lot of people are going to like. But here's what it's all about. The infrastructure package they're going to pass is all about the Green New Deal. That is coming within the next month. And these are radical changes that will end the oil industry, the coal industry. That will force green energy to be the number one thing. And we saw how that worked out in Texas with the wind turbines. That doesn't work out very well. And then this is going to be taxes, high taxes, and the tax increases are coming next month in the infrastructure package. And so the radicalization, the changing, the transformation of America to a free country, to what we could call now a socialist country, it's happened. And it's happening literally before our eyes. And unfortunately, the media is not a real media. We don't have a free press. We have a Democrat press. And
yeah,
they're serving
the New York judge
the will.
I was going to say the New York judge on the Project Veritas case actually brought that up. He said that the media in this country should not be one-sided, and they shouldn't have this political bias like they do, like you see the New York Times and all. But you bring up a very, very, very good point, and we talked about this when we were doing the bus tour down in Georgia, that, you know, if we lose the Senate here in Georgia, you know, we're going to see Puerto Rico, District of Columbia, fight for statehood. We're going to go and see stringent anti-gun, gun control maneuvers that are already starting to happen right now. Now you see Biden flirting with the idea on Twitter that, well, a staffer posted it. He doesn't even know how to use his phone. He's talking about gun control, taking away AR-15s, or no, he said assault weapons, right? You know, a made-up term. Literally the dumbest thing you could ever hear or say, and then high capacity magazines, right? We talked about the Green New Deal. We talked about segments of the Green New Deal, not necessarily coming out in a package called the Green New Deal. They won't do that, but they're gonna hide it in there like a Trojan horse within your infrastructure bills, within your national security bills. You're gonna see this stuff come out in many ways, shapes, or forms, and it's not gonna be, you know, pretty and all packaged up. They're going to have it hidden in there. And that's what they're doing right now. I'm glad you brought up that infrastructure bill. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, you got the Equality Act as well. I mean, there's just so many. I've not seen a single good piece of legislation come out of this Congress.
No, and I would encourage everyone, don't read articles. Stop reading articles. Start reading the actual bills.
Yeah.
If you want to find out what is happening in your government, read the bill itself. And like the Equality Act, read it. It destroyed gender. It truly put trans rights over everyone. They declared there is no more male and female. Girls do not have privacy. Women's rights in sports is gone. Religious freedoms are gone. You can't say, a doctor cannot say, no, I will not perform an abortion because I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
The woman's so-called pregnancy rights reign over all, and that's the right to demand an abortion. A doctor that normally performs mastectomies for women who suffer with cancer, they cannot refuse a 14 or 15-year-old girl that wants her breast removed because she believes she's a boy. That this is what the Equality Act does. It is atrocious. It is evil. And so I encourage people, don't rely on the news media to tell you about things. Go to the website yourself. Go to the congressional website and look up bill, just search it, and you can find them and read the bills themselves, and you wouldn't believe what's happening. It's, it's beyond your comprehension.
Yeah, I mean, the bill is equal, you know, unequal, unjust, and unfair, really what it comes down to. It's disgusting. We've talked about this on Twitter. We've said everything I think we can say on the issue that, you know, this is, you know, people suffering from gender dysphoria. And obviously, we shouldn't make fun of people making, you know, suffering from this, a psychological condition. But, you know, the problem comes when you violate other people's civil rights, right? And I only wanted to touch on this a little bit because I wanted to get into another topic with you. But it's a terrible bill. And, you know, hopefully within the next 2 years, we win back the House and Senate. And we can go and fight against these heinous pieces of legislation which are just destroying this country.
Oh, we have to.
It's terrible.
We have to. Yeah, we have to. That's a really, really important. We got to win in 22.
We do. And we'll be right out there fighting with you. I wanted to ask you, you know, about this shooting, this tragedy that just unfolded in Boulder, because I remember you talking about before to me that you were in a shooting when you were, I believe, somewhere around 16 or 17 at your high school. And so I wanted to ask you about this tragedy because, you know, now it's coming out that this is a guy, 21-year-old Ahmed Al-Aliwi Alyssa, identified as a suspect, killed 10 individuals, including a heroic police officer. Immediately as this is happening and in the moments after it happened, you saw Blue Mark Twitter, as we know it, Blue Mark, the mob on Twitter, saying that it was a white supremacist. You know, they were mocking the Atlanta shooter, saying that this guy had a quote-unquote bad day, that he was using an AR, someone who supported Trump, that he was a white guy. You know, I wanted to say this before I even go into, you know, leftists do not care when they're wrong, when they're 100% wrong, because it comes out the next day, and I know you saw this cycle happening as well, where the guy was not white, where he was not a Trump supporter, where he read the Washington Post religiously, the New York Times religiously, believed racist Islamophobes were hacking his phone in the moment. Guy's a Syrian immigrant. He hated Donald Trump. He was on an FBI watch list. What do we see again here? The FBI drops the ball. They're more focused on finding a bunch of people who decided to walk around in the Capitol building than they are keeping weapons out of hands of people who do not need them, who are certifiably insane. This is the thing, is that these guys took less than 24 hours to politicize this tragedy, call for a quote unquote assault weapons ban, a ban on high capacity magazines. What do you think of all of this?
I think it's sad. I think it's more of what we see. The media controls the narrative. The truth is, in Colorado, they already have strict gun control laws. They have those red flag gun laws in place. They have mental health checks. They have background checks. And none of that stops this guy from killing people. And we can just look at it pure and simple from a gun control standpoint. More gun control laws will not stop murder. People will murder people no matter what. Now, I think what the issue needs to be to dig in further is we need to know the truth. You know, instead of the media would love, they love to say it was a white supremacist and, ooh, he was a Trump supporter and, oh, it's a mass murderer and it was an AR-15. So that's all to get the gun control because that's the story they want to tell. They forget to talk about how many murders happen with illegal guns in Chicago, St. Louis, Baltimore, Atlanta, many other cities every single week. They don't want to talk about those. Because
I think 24 people were killed in Chicago last week, and I didn't hear a lick of that until I tweeted about it earlier in the week, I think on Monday. 24 people, including a child.
There you go. That's mass murder in Chicago, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, they don't want to talk about that because that means gun control laws don't work. And it is the truth. Gun control laws don't work. And, if this guy had, you know, it's been reported, I don't know if it's true, but it's been reported that he is a Muslim. It's been reported that he swore allegiance to ISIS. So I don't know if that's true. I haven't seen that, but it needs to be investigated. And we deserve to know if that's the truth, because radical Islamic terrorist attacks are a real thing and they will not go away because of the beliefs of radical Islamists. That's just their belief and that's what they do. It's a tool of what they use in jihad. And so for us to pretend like it doesn't exist anymore, it's foolish. And we can say radicalization in any group is horrible. And we all say that. We don't want radicalization of anybody. And because killing people for your beliefs is evil. And, but no, we need to have the real conversation of this. We need a media that will tell the truth and stop targeting people's identity to fit a political narrative. And that's the biggest problem we have in our media is identity politics and the divisiveness of dividing groups of people to achieve the end goal of the policy that they want. And that's what the media does. And they do that on behalf of the Democrat Party because they sure as heck don't do it for Republicans.
You're 100% right on that. You know, I think it's also worth noting that now you're starting to see, you know, this is the first one within Boulder. Now, God forbid there's more, but I remember under the Obama administration, there was a plethora of terrorist attacks where you had ISIS sympathizers in the country, in the states, committing these harmful acts against people. We saw it in Dallas. I mean, we saw it at Pulse Nightclub. We saw it at San Bernardino. I mean, these are just absolutely terrible acts. And I mean, everyone should be working together to, you know, make sure they don't happen anymore. But, you know, I think the most ironic thing of it all is that the people who were going out and spouting this information, these blue checkmark mafia guys, they work for outlets. I mean, they're New York Times, they're Vice, you know, they're Washington Post writers, people who work right on this stuff. And they're the ones putting this narrative out there preemptively without knowing any single thing. And then just like with the Breonna Taylor case, which I'm sure everyone here is familiar with, it took them close to a year to get anything out on that case. And while that was happening, which I suspect we might see something similar with Boulder, that allowed for a ton of misinformation, misconstrued perceptions, build up, and, you know, essentially glorify the entire situation to something it entirely was not. And that seems to be what the media has gotten really good at, is just building up these views, building up these things that people want to click on, with false narratives and false information. And that's what we're going to see, I think, out of this shooting, unfortunately.
Oh, I think so too. And we need to know the truth about it because you can't solve a problem without the truth. You know, the Atlanta shooting where the Asian hate crimes that trended and that became the whole story.
Right.
The whole, you know, ridiculous part of that was that the guy that committed the murders said he had a sex addiction.
Yeah.
And he said himself, when he was asked, why did you do it? He said he was going around and he was trying to stop his addiction and try to get rid of the temptation. And that, you know, that's mental health.
Yeah.
We're talking about a mental health problem there in the shooting. That didn't have anything to do with Asian hate crimes. That's a mental health problem and a disgusting reality that, and so, yeah, if we had a media that would tell the truth instead of a story, they want a story to help policies they want, then we'd have a lot different country we'd be living in. And so a lot of the problems is the media. They're Democrat activists. They're not journalists.
They
take advantage of a great freedom, and that's freedom of the press.
The Obama presidency taught them well. The activist in chief himself, I always like to say. It is very unfortunate, these tragedies, these things that are happening now. You know, we're looking at the border, and we can touch a little bit into the border as well, because, I mean, this is just a travesty. I mean, just seeing that, the double standard, if you've ever seen one happening on our border right now, where, you know, for years, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, AOC, Ilhan Omar, the rest of the left viciously attacked Trump for his practice at the border. But as we see, you know, right now, these policies actually worked, you know, from the creation of a new border wall to agreements with South American countries that, you know, would require migrants to seek asylum in the first safe country that they reach, not just the United States. And now you're seeing unprecedented amounts of people come over here. I saw a video the other day where a reporter asked this immigrant, you know, did you come here because of Joe Biden? And they were saying, yes, 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 we came here because of Joe Biden. They said, well, you came here if President Trump was still in office. They said, well, no, they wouldn't have came if President Trump was still in office. And now you're seeing from 2020, 2021, this is a statistic to the fact checkers. It's from U.S. Border Patrol, 188% spike in single adults illegally crossing the border, 98% increase in unaccompanied minors. It's gotten so bad that border agents are now releasing these asylum-seeking migrants into the U.S. without even giving them a court date. But I don't even think the court date matters, because the average time between they're released and when they go to court is like 846 days. I don't know if you knew that. I just read that the other day. 846 days. So I don't even think it matters at this point.
It clearly doesn't matter. Oh, it is so bad, Ryan. The numbers that we were told this week is in May, we'll be seeing over 200,000 people entering a month and 13,000 unaccompanied minors a month. These are staggering numbers. They're record numbers, and they're numbers that we would not have happening right now if President Trump was in office and if his policies were still in place. So that's why I introduced the Protect America First Act, H.R. 1883. It's the strongest border security bill that's ever been introduced, and it brings together some other great bills that have been introduced by strong conservatives like Andy Biggs and others. And but we put it together all in one package. Mm-hmm. And this bill would fully fund the border wall, finish building it, and name it President Donald J. Trump's border wall. It would also defund sanctuary cities, because we should not be harboring criminals and illegal aliens and paying for them in American cities. We need to defund sanctuary cities. It would fully fund law enforcement, local law enforcement, to assist ICE and help them to round up, detain, and support illegals that need to be sent back out of this country. It would also put a four-year moratorium on immigration, and that needs to happen because things are out of control.
Absolutely.
And in 4 years is the rest of Joe Biden's presidency, and we cannot trust this man to secure our borders. And it does many more things. And so I just recently introduced that, and I'm really happy. I've been getting co-sponsors on this bill of other strong conservative Republicans in Congress, and we'll keep working hard to try to get this put in place. But yeah, no, our country is out of control. Everyone knows it. And it's a real crisis. They're trying to blame President Trump and say, oh, this was pent up demand and it's his fault. And no, it's not. Even the president of Mexico said yesterday that this is Joe Biden's fault.
Exactly.
The president of Mexico blamed Joe Biden. So this is
never thought that would have happened.
They're just lying. Oh my gosh, I know.
Yeah.
But it's for them to say blame Trump and try to pretend like this isn't a crisis, or it's a lie. And that's what we have going on. And we got to make it stop. We got to get people engaged to force it to stop.
You know, my bet is that the next 4 years, even 2 years, really, hopefully, I think is going to wake up a lot of people to realize how so good. They had it under a Donald J. Trump presidency. I mean, after seeing, you're going to see these tax hikes, this terrible stimulus bill. You know, I made a joke the other day, because I think you remember with the other stimulus bill where the Democrats wanted to give $20 million, I think it was, to Pakistan for gender studies. And they gave us, with that bill, $600. And I made a joke and I said, you know, will my $600 cover a flight ticket to Pakistan to check on my little gender studies investment? I mean, this is how sad that it's become. It's that all these bills are just covered in pork. They're covered in things that the American people don't care about, that they don't need, when really at the end of the day, the solution would be to open up this country and this economy. But I know you got some work to do. I know you're busy.
Yeah.
And you got to get back out there. I wanted to end this with, conservatives are, you know, frustrated everywhere across the country. And what would you say to them as some words of encouragement, you know, what to look forward to? Because I know you and I both are not done fighting for this president. He's fought for us these last four years,
no.
Got curb stomped every single day by the media, his family, his supporters. We are not done fighting for him.
No, absolutely not. Definitely not. And I still believe he won. He won that election.
Yeah.
We just had so much voter fraud that hasn't been investigated, and I'd love to see it investigated. So no, we won't stop fighting for him because he always fought for us. Well, here's what I do have to say is while we're upset over the election and we believe it was wrong, we can't sit this one out. And while everything looks terrible and sounds terrible, we have another election coming in 2022, and we have got to elect strong, conservative, America First Republicans, and we have to take back the House, and we have to take back the Senate. And we have to continue doing everything we can to stop this transformation of America. And that takes getting involved. Posting and complaining on social media will do nothing, because here's the deal. Only your friends and family see those posts. The politicians, the people that need to make the changes, do not see your social media posts, and they don't care. And so I always encourage people to get on the phone, get on your email, and go to people's offices, your reps and your senators. Go see them, tell them, and never stop telling them. Just because you call one day, that's not enough. You need to call every day if you can. You know, yes. Put it on your schedule for the day and take 20 minutes to make phone calls and get your friends and family doing the same thing. You're the American people. This is a government for you, and make it work for you. Demand good customer service. And that's what the government needs to do, is be working for people again. So that's what I say. Don't ever give up hope, and don't think it's over, because it's not. And we've got to just hang in here and keep up the fight. And we can't let them write the story, because the story they're writing is a lie. Yeah. We all know it. So we got to continue to make sure the truth is out there. And Ryan, that's why you're doing a great job with this podcast. And I'm so happy you're doing it.
I appreciate it. You know, we're hosting this podcast on the Truth Network, which is sister company to Salem Broadcasting. And it is a Christian broadcasting station. And I wanted to do that because we have about 15 million Christians in this country who do not vote. And so my goal here is that your voice reaches some of these Christians who will be listening to this podcast. Maybe you inspire them to get out there, do something more, be more involved, because this has such an effect, not only on this country in a cultural way, but in a spiritual way. And what they're doing is antithetical to our Constitution, to the Bible, to how our founding fathers wanted this country to be managed, right? We're the arbiters of it now. We're the people who should be taking care of it. And this is just not what they would have wanted. And I know that for a fact, right. And I think you do too. I really do appreciate you coming on. It's an absolute honor. We'll have to have you back soon. Maybe next time they try to expel you again or suspend you on Twitter, we'll have to have you come on. Hopefully that doesn't happen again. But thank you so much. It was an honor, Congresswoman. Keep fighting. You are one of the strongest allies we have in Congress right now. You're a fighter for President Trump. You're a fighter for Christ. And you're fighting for all the right things. And you're really helping this country out. So we really do appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Ryan. I appreciate you. And I'm glad you're doing this. And for all of your listeners, just hang in there. Never give up hope. And listen to Ryan. He'll lead you in the right way. So thank you so much. I look forward to talking to you again.
We'll talk soon. Thank you, Congresswoman. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into my show. We're going to be taking questions at the end of each show. So please email me your questions to patriot@rfangle.com. Again, that email is patriot@rfangle.com. Thank you so much, and God bless.